to episode 170 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, it's the decasode that so many people look forward to, including myself. And for the reason of what the style of this is, well, kind of style of this one is, I think the guests are excited too, I would think. So
I like it.
Let's introduce who's here.
I'm Mike Johnzak from Wine World.
Been on before.
And I'm Sean Creel from Chesapeake Beverage.
Oh, Sean Creel's back. It's been a while.
It has been a while, man.
And I did tease this. I said for the tournament we were going to have someone coming back who hasn't been on in quite a while. So it's a momentous occasion. So there are reasons for both of you guys that I decided to make this tournament the style that it is. Now, Sean, it's like a coming back. And we joked about doing this, I think, when you were on an episode.
Yeah.
And Mike, it's because I've been trying to get you scheduled in on one of these tournaments for a while now, and it just hasn't worked out. So it's kind of a makeup.
Oh, this is definitely a good makeup. Definitely a good makeup.
So basically what we're doing, I know we teased it before, Rebecca dove into my cellar, and she pulled out six beers from the cellar, literally dove into it, really, because when I came home, she was off one day for work, and that's when she did it. I came home, and she said, I hope you didn't have any of the beers in that cellar in any specific order, because they're moved around because I went through all of them. And I was like, okay, no, that's fine. Nice. So I don't know what it's going to be. Obviously, I know some of what's in my cellar, but honestly, I forget a bunch of what's down there because stuff just gets, you know, thrown to the back.
Piled up.
Yeah, and since Rebecca went all the way through it, I don't know what's going to be in here. Stuff I could have thought about, or I forgot about. In addition, Sean wanted to bring two from his cellar, so we won't be doing just six, we will be doing eight, which makes it a much more neat, bracketed tournament, so. And I know some of the stuff that you can probably get your hands on, so I'm potentially excited for where that goes.
You know, I gotta be honest, I changed my mind, like, five times in the past 3 hours before I came over here.
Okay.
So, I know one of them. I don't even remember what the second one is I brought.
That's fine, man. That's fine. So, cool. So, just a reminder for everyone. Actually, first off, there will not be a Swain save, unfortunately.
No Swain save.
No Swain save, because it works out very neatly for this tournament with it being eight. So no Swain save, which is, you know, fitting because we're not actually competing against each other. We're just having good beers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of these should most likely be some sort of like high ABV barrel age something, I'm assuming, because that's mainly what I stockpile, but we'll see.
It's got to be stuff that you can age for a while. So yeah, it's got to have some acidity in there and be a sour. Or it's got to be a big, dark, heavy beer.
Yeah.
High ABV. So,
we'll find out, but, we're going to go through and just, you know, do the matchups and see what the winner is overall. We'll reveal them as they are knocked out, so just drink sparingly. I think you probably won't be able to do anything but, most likely, because
I'll try my hardest.
Yeah. But first, Mike brought something as a warm-up, which is a first, because we've never had a warm-up for a tournament like this. So, Mike, if you want to tell us what you got.
Froch Heather Ale, aged in Agintosh whiskey bottles. It was bottled back in August 2011, and I just was like, hey, this is a nice big old bottle of beer to share with people.
Yeah. So this is done by Williams Brothers Brewing Company out of Scotland. So I've had the Froch. I don't know if it's Froch or Froch or...
I don't know
how it's said, but I've had their regular Heather Ale before. I didn't know that they had a whiskey-aged version of it, but that's what this is.
What's the ABV on this? Like 11?
I think it's 11,
yeah.
It's like orangey.
Yeah, 11% ABV.
Yeah, it's like orangey.
Like an orange amber color to it. It's a.
Supposedly, according to the back of the label, only 12,000 bottles were made.
Very nice. Oh, did you say bottled in 2011?
Yes, August.
Yeah, nice.
Tastes kind of like a almost like an English style barley wine.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. Whiskey barrels.
There's so much of a smell of whiskey on that when I just take a sniff of it. I also smell a decent amount of like raisin, but it kind of, I'm going to be specific, it kind of tastes like, or smells like golden raisins, if you've ever smelled those before. And maybe I'm thinking that because at one point my dad was soaking golden raisins in hard liquor. Because apparently those are supposed to help with your joints.
Sure.
That's what I've heard. I don't know. That it's just a home.
I'll give it a try. I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay, thank you very much. You should.
I'm not a big Scotch drinker, but I don't know. I'm picking up like notes of like. I've had like samples of like Lafroy a couple times.
Oh, others are really peaty and smoky.
I get some of that peatiness coming through on this.
Oh, there's definitely a peatiness to it.
To me, it's almost like the closest thing I can associate with it is like gasoline, but that doesn't do it justice to what that.
Right, because it actually tastes good.
Yeah.
But
in a good way.
I think that the flavor is mirroring a lot of the aroma. I get a decent amount of that peat aspect. I get some raisin. I like you were talking about, there's like a sweetness on there that reminds me of an English style barley wine.
Yeah. I do like that raisin character, like the golden raisin
side. Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste as much like spirit as I thought it would. Like it's based on the nose, I thought it was gonna be way aggressive.
I bet 5 years and it's smooth.
About
it's
5 years really... ago you'd pick up a lot more of the spirit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, at this moment, that is really smooth. And I feel like all those flavors are just blending. Like, they're becoming one. I mean, you can pick them out, obviously, individually,
it's
but...
still kind of a slow sipper. I mean, there's still a little bit of that bite from the alcohol, but it's it's definitely... All the flavors really meld together pretty well.
Thanks for bringing that. That's really tasty.
Yeah. It's a nice treat. Pleasure.
That is good. I'm a fan. Yeah, we can intermittently sip on that while we do these. And let's just go
it
changes ahead.
As it warms up.
And we have more of all of these, I think Rebecca said, because I mainly only keep larger format bottles. So if you want any more at the end, we can get some more at the end. But save the stuff that's winning just until the end, or until we know it's totally out. Because there is no Swain save. So as soon as it goes out once, it's out.
We can go ahead and down it.
You can down it if you want it. All right, so let's go ahead and one versus two. These are the lighter looking ones. Everything else looks like it could be... Like a stout
royal imperial. Yeah. Number eight. Number eight's a little light.
Kind of a brownish color. A little more transparency to it. But one and two are the only ones that are lighter in color.
Yeah.
Say one's like is more a nice of a red.
Yeah. It's almost an orangish light red for number two.
Yeah, two's got a little bit of like a pinkish hue to it, I think.
Yeah.
Ooh, I definitely like the smell of one better than two.
Well, let's break down the smell of one together. What does this smell like?
I get, like, oranges.
One, I get a lot of...
sugar.
Yeah, like, maybe a little bit of oxidized malt.
Yeah. Yeah, I could smell that. Yeah, it's super malty, like, spent malt
really
grain
rich
type.
Malt character in there, yeah.
So malty. And there's
actually smells like the mash of, like, whiskey as it's fermenting.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
There's all...
I love that smell.
I got out my whiskey game.
There is so much, like, honey to it. There's so much honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just smell like honey and like spent malt grain, really. It don't smell that good. Gotta be honest. So we'll have to see what this looks like.
It's almost like a very dry flavor to it.
You know how if you take like an IPA and you age it, the hops drop out and you get that really like over the top malt character left over? That's what I'm getting in the aroma.
That's kind of what it tastes like to me.
Yeah.
It really is just like spent malt grain is what it really tastes like.
Did you leave something in your cellar too long?
Quite possibly, yes. So that's another aspect of this tournament.
This could just be cleaning things out. It's past time on this.
Hey, I didn't pick them, so I don't know.
But man, do me a favor. Grab the really dusty bottles.
I mean, it is my fault if this came from me and it's not tasting so hot because I left it downstairs. I left it there. And who knows how long, too. Mm. It's not bad. It's not offensive. It's smooth.
Yeah.
But.
What do you think the ABV is on that?
That tastes like 7.
That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking like 8-ish, 9-ish. Yeah. Because cellar beers, you don't really see much lower than that.
Well, I mean, like we've said, it may be an accidental cellar beer. So, I don't know. We'll find out.
Whoa.
Let's move to 2 and smell that.
Yeah. Not a fan of 2.
That smells like
Mike's a
funk,
non-sour guy.
Funk and dirty diapers.
You know about the dirty diapers now, don't you?
Dirty diapers, gym socks.
Ooh, there! It is very funky.
When I swirl up the head,
it
gets a little bit more like a reddish hue to the foam.
Nope, that is some form of sour, funky style beer that is not up my alley.
Some sort of wild.
Ooh.
Nice wild smell. I don't know. I feel like I get some sort of like raspberry on the nose or something.
It's really tart up front, but it doesn't, like that sourness doesn't linger. It really mellows out.
It mellows out like crazy, actually. Mike, you should be relatively okay with this. Because the sourness does not stick around.
Right when you put it in your mouth, like on the tip of your tongue, you get a lot of sourness. Nope. But as you swallow it, like it doesn't trail down.
This beer, it's not the sourness, because you're right, it's not that sour, it's just the taste.
There's some real funky characteristics going on there.
I don't like the taste at all.
So is that one of your biggest issues, Mike, with sours, is that that kind of funky characteristic?
Like with all the bread and white cheese flavors, that barnyardy hay funk. I don't want to be drinking that. If I did, I'd take some hay and put it in my beer.
I initially thought it was a really weird thing that I didn't enjoy, but as I've gotten into sours, like, I really like that. And actually, this will probably be a podcast episode topic. I've started to prefer, because I know there's been a debate of kettle soured sours versus wild fermentation sours, and I've started to really prefer wild fermentation because that's where you get those funky characters.
I think you get more depth. More complexity coming through.
Way more depth. Way more of that funkiness.
I think all those styles should just be discontinued.
I'm sure you do.
I'm a big fan of sours. Then this one,
it's delicate. It's nice. It's light.
It's kind of cool. I like if you throw the cup back a little bit and get the beer in your mouth, so it's not hitting right on the tip of your tongue. You get very little sourness. Yeah. It's more that funky Brett character.
It kind of strikes me as maybe like a. Some sort of like Brettanomyces style, like farmhouse ale.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know I have some in my cellar with like raspberries or strawberries or something.
I can see that.
But it's smooth. It's like very smooth. It mellows out quick.
It could be the raspberries adding more of that acidity than any type of bacteria in there.
Yeah.
It could just be I could see that being just a Brett farmhouse with some type of sour fruit.
I agree with that, definitely.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I would think that people who, if you don't hate the funky quality...
Why is it going to point at me?
If you mainly hate sours because of the extreme sourness, but you're okay with that funky character, you would really like this. Like, this is... Yeah, so... one. I'm just jumping back to one. Yeah, and it's just very... Actually, since I jump back to one, I almost get... Like a faint chocolate, almost. Like, real faint.
Like a toffee?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's more like that. Okay, well, what do you guys think?
Number one all day long.
I think one's been in the basement too long.
Oh, to go.
Yeah.
Okay, you were voting for one to go.
No, I'm voting for one because one stay. Stay because I can't stay until.
So you're voting for two.
I vote for two.
I will vote for two as well.
You know what's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen.
I don't think one's that good of a beer, but two.
Just looking at the color of the rest of them, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of sours left in
there. No. Yeah, I think I'm fairly safe at this point.
Yeah, I think that was basically it, and we'll see what comes up in the next one. So number two is going to move on to the next round. So number one getting eliminated first is, oh, okay. This is one I've had in there for a while. So. It's been in there for a while. So it's a Belgian style ale. And it's a blend of, okay, Salvation from both Russian River and Avery. This was their collaboration, not litigation ale from 2014. So that's been sitting in there. It's 8.9%, which is surprising to me.
Mike and I.
Yeah, you nailed that. I think it tastes like 7, so you fooled me on that one. But yeah, basically Belgian style ale, and they each do a Salvation. And this was amongst, back in 2014, all the stuff going down with breweries suing each other over, you have a beer named the same thing, you have one. So Avery and Russian River got together and were like, look, we both have beers named Salvation, why don't we just collaborate? And as a statement, they mixed the two beers together and released it and named it Collaboration, not Litigation.
I remember that release, and that was a very delicious beer, fresh.
Yeah, sorry.
Some beers are better fresh.
Sorry about that.
Okay. It's fun to experiment, though, and figure out.
You don't know how well it's going to age till you age it.
Yeah. So.
And at 8.9%, you'd think that's, you know, Belgian style.
Yeah, I bet.
Think that would hold up.
Maybe a year to close to 2 years, I would see that beer really hitting its prime after tasting it now. But yeah, I think what would be 2.5 years almost at this point, I think.
It's on its way back. Yeah. Down.
Yeah.
Not a bad beer, but definitely on the downslope.
I apologize for that, but also I'm glad it's out of my cellar now then. because I was gonna drink it at some point.
I can't wait till we find one in here that like Carlin just like, no,
I can't believe you put that in here.
Well, but here's the thing with that is that Rebecca and I have been talking, and for so long I got into that mode that I think a lot of people get into where it's like, you feel like this is going to be such a good beer that I have to hold it for some momentous occasion. And then you never find that occasion.
Yeah.
And it just sits. So yeah. She started to be like, look, we just need to drink some of these beers. Every day should be the right occasion. And I'm like, you know, you're right. And that's part of the reason that I thought this, you know, cellar dive, brutal battle royale would be appropriate to start moving some stuff. And actually, it's not out yet when we're recording this, but Rebecca and I did a special episode that was a cellar dive episode that we're going to start doing more and more where we just grab 4 beers out of the cellar
and
just try them for fun, just to get them out of there. So
it's a good excuse to buy more beer to fill it back up too, you know?
Don't tell her.
Okay.
Don't tell.
I can't really see her in the store buying beer more than you.
That's actually true because I've been on a restriction and I've been holding to it. And I've tried to place her on one, and she keeps coming home with beer. And I'm like, do you understand what my issue was now? Do you understand how hard it is to not go buy more beers? So she does. So 3 and 4, they look the same, right?
Yeah.
Dark.
Very dark.
Dark. Can't see.
Tiny little bit of tan head on top.
Bottom of the glass, you can start kind of seeing the light poke through if you tilt it right. But other than that, you get nothing.
Yeah, I think 3 might be a tad darker, but it's barely able to be told.
Whoa. You
know? All right, so 3.
Lots of coffee in 3.
Ooh, my gosh.
Right off the bat on the aroma.
Yeah, tons and tons of coffee on 3. Green coffee, too. Not like a dark roasted.
Or I feel like it's like fresh coffee, too, not already brewed, anything like that.
Isn't like an old pot of coffee that's been sitting all day. And, yeah.
I don't really have any like harsh notes coming out of it. It's just, it's a nice, smooth, approachable coffee character aroma.
Yeah, I mainly just smell the coffee. I think I get a little bit of like a dark chocolate underneath the coffee.
Mm-hmm. Some like baker's chocolate in there or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mainly just smell coffee though. It smells good.
Tastes good.
Whoa. I just switched over to 4 for the aroma. Sorry.
Oh, we're
just jumping ahead.
Yeah.
I'll back up.
That's fine. Hold those thoughts. It's been a while. It's okay.
Yeah, I just snuck a quick sneak smell on that. Yeah, 4 smells good.
Teaser.
3 actually has a lot of that baker's chocolate taste.
I get a lot more of the chocolate in the flavor than I do the coffee.
A lot more chocolate. And it's almost got a little bit of an ashiness on the finish.
It's nice and dry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely get that ashy character.
Which I think kind of comes along with, you know, dark chocolate like that. Like, it gets kind of chalky the more that it's, like, pure dark chocolate.
It's like, it's not so drying that it, like, you know, sometimes beers get so dry you can't even drink them. This is like, it dries your mouth out, you're ready for another drink. It's not too heavy, it's like,
I feel like it's masking some alcohol content, too.
Yeah, this doesn't taste crazy high to me. It tastes like 8, 8, 8.5. About 9, maybe. Yeah,
nine. If I just take a sip of it, I agree with you, but if I breathe air in over my tongue,
you can get
I get a burn from the alcohol.
Yeah.
That's good though. The coffee, the way the coffee and that like that dark chocolate meld together is probably one of the best marriages of those two flavors that I've had in a beer, to be honest.
It's really nice.
It is. It's smooth. It's tasty. It's good.
Wow.
I'm going to drink a little water before. That's like liquid 6.
Mm.
All right, so 4. You already smelled a little bit, so you can go ahead and lead on that.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's just rich, like caramelized sugar.
Oh, the caramelized is a perfect statement because it almost even just smells like straight caramel.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a fruitiness.
Yeah, I get like, I was just going to say, like, I don't want to say sourness, but there's that tart fruity.
I almost get a bit of, like, a red grape. Like, red wine.
Yeah.
Like, if this is, like, red wine barrel age type deal, like a cab or something like that.
I can totally get that.
It smells really good, though. And what else is in there? It's a lot of that barrel character, a lot of caramel you guys were talking about. Maybe a little vanilla? No. No.
No, I definitely get the red wine, lots of caramelized sugars, and some sweeter chocolate notes.
Yes. I totally agree with that.
I think it might be more brandy, like a brandy aged cognac aged after trying it.
Ooh. It's sweet.
Yeah.
But it's got like a bit of a tartness
and,
on there.
It has
too.
Like a spirit aspect
I could see
to it.
Like an apple brandy.
Mm-hmm.
That could be where you get that tart fruitiness from. But you definitely get the spirit coming through pretty strong in there.
Because if you have like a really jammy Cabernet Sauvignon, I feel like that's that character potentially right there. But do I have any?
Oh, so now he's trying to cheat.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it could not be mine too. That's the other thing. Could have been one that Sean brought, so.
I don't think I have anything like this at home. So I'm pretty sure this is not mine.
Yeah, so I do taste some of that chocolate. It's a little bit of like a milk chocolate, and it's underneath that kind of barrel character with a little bit of that caramelized aspect and the red wine aspect. And
this is a pretty interesting matchup between the two. Yeah, you get so both have lots of chocolate, but they're totally different. One's that dry baker's chocolate, and the other's like Hershey syrup almost.
This is so hard. This is a tough matchup because they're both quite good, in my opinion. I'm getting a lot of like woodiness out of four as well as I keep sipping it. I like both of them. Damn.
I can't tell how I feel about four. I love that rich, sweet, over-the-top caramel aroma. I can't, you know, whether it's the brandy or the wine, like...
I feel like maybe it's a little
there's too
a much.
Little bit of a tartness to it.
Yes.
And I think I would like it more if it was just more of that rich, dark chocolate flavor.
And for me, I agree. Four seems way more like a food beer. Like, I want to pair it with a dessert. I want to have it with a meal rather than just sit there and drink a beer.
Absolutely.
Because you could definitely have some sort of food item that would take that kind of tartness down.
There's so many things you could pair with this.
Oh,
either
yeah.
Rich, decadent, like chocolate dessert. Even if you had like
some raspberries or some kind of berry on top of it.
Like you could do it with a main course or like a steak, too. That'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Steak, nice big brisket or something.
With like a port wine demi-glaze on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
These are both good beers, but yeah. I'll vote. I'll go three.
I'm going to go 3-2. Yeah. I like the smoky characteristics.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for a good coffee beer.
Yeah. It's.
And I like 4, not a bad beer. There's just not. There's a couple things I still need to like. I don't know. I can't make up my mind.
When you're pitting it against 3, it's like, yeah. I like 4, but 3, it's a better drinking beer.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. I think, yeah. And I think we're kind of like nitpicky, but you have to be, especially in this situation. 4 could have beat a lot of beers in tournaments, but...
It could have definitely beat 2 in the last round, in my opinion.
I don't know about that, but it definitely would have beat 1.
Well, we'll figure out if 3 can beat 2, because that one will be coming up. But, all right, 4 getting knocked out second is... Okay. This is by The Brewery, okay? It is by their arm brewery, Terryu, because it technically is sour. It's called Blue Bubbles. It's their 2016 version, so it's not that old. 16.3% alcohol. Jesus.
Really?
Wow. Are you ready for that?
I could taste the alcohol, but I didn't think it was that high.
No. 30% of the beer is a sour stout, and 70% is a straight-up imperial stout. Then it's aged in bourbon barrels with blueberries added. So that's where you're getting that tartness. Is all
now that you say blueberries, I can kind of think blueberries and taste it. And hey, look, you actually got me to enjoy a sour beer.
Yup.
It is a sour then. I mean, I could pick up like the aroma, get a little bit. It didn't quite, for me, it didn't quite reach that threshold of a sour beer. But you definitely get the tartness coming
through.
I almost
felt like a baby sour, intro sour.
You said it was 30% sour?
Yeah, 30% sour, 70% imperial stout, and then bourbon barrel aged, and then added blueberries. This is one I've been really excited to try. I actually have 2 bottles of it, so I'm cool with one of them being in this tournament for sure. But it's That's why it's tough, because it's a hybrid. You know?
This will be cool to taste in a couple years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those, I think some of the, there's some harsh notes in this beer mm-hmm. that I think with a little bit of age will help round out, mm-hmm. mellow, and I think it could be something pretty cool.
I still think that it tastes like it has a red wine barrel aging quality to it, and I guess that's just the way the
blueberries.
The bourbon plays with the blueberry.
Get the oak and the blueberry together, yeah.
It's cool. It's interesting. Like I said, it could be.
Now that I know there are blueberries in it, I can actually smell the blueberries.
You can start, like, picking apart mm-hmm. different pieces of that. There's a lot going on in that one.
Yeah, a ton.
That's cool.
Well, that's what the brewery does. So let's shift over to 5 and 6. These also look very dark, but I will say that 6 has a much more tan head to it.
Yeah.
5 is a little closer
to it. Much smaller bubbles, too, in 6 than in 5.
Good point. That is accurate. So let's start smelling 5. Ooh. Chocolate.
Lots of chocolate.
Is there, like, a little, like, soy sauce in there as well? I feel like there is.
I get lots of different layers of chocolate in the aroma here. I get some of that drier that we were talking about from 3. It gets some of the sweeter notes that we were talking about in 4.
I feel like this is kissed a bourbon barrel, maybe. Not a lot of time, but I get like a little oakiness. I get a little of that kind of caramel aspect and a little vanilla.
I can see that. Yeah. I can pick up on some of the oaky.
Oh, there's definitely vanilla on the taste.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if it was just because you said it as I was drinking it, but...
No, yeah, that really gives it a nice, smooth finish.
It definitely has a barrel-aged flavor to it as well. Like, there's bourbon, but it's kind of on the weaker side. Mm-hmm. Like, much weaker than I would expect.
The beer drinks a little bit thin.
It does.
I'm actually starting to wonder if this is the Breckenridge's, I think it was the 25th anniversary vanilla porter bottle they did not too long ago.
Yeah.
That exploded on me.
It's not that.
We had it on a show, and we opened it up, and it just gushed everywhere.
Really?
It was infected. But it actually, I thought it was actually okay infected because it gave it cherry notes, which was kind of interesting because it made like a sour cherry aspect.
Sitting on it for a little while?
No. We had just gotten it. Okay. Like brand spanking new. I hadn't heard about that before. I guess Breckenridge is kind of garbage. But
ouch.
I'm not a fan. I'm just not, not a fan.
That's the brewery that opened my eyes to the fact that there could be a business side of beer. I was, I don't know if it was freshman year, like first 2 years of college, I did a case study on that brewery, and it was like talking about like how they should expand and grow, mm-hmm. what their plans should be. And we kind of like built a make-believe business plan for them for moving forward.
Oh, that's cool.
That's kind of gave me a glimpse on the backside of beer. I always enjoyed drinking it, but it was, it was kind of cool to see the business side of it.
Well, and I will say as a disclaimer, Breckenridge early on, I enjoyed their vanilla porter. Their straight up vanilla porter. That was a beer that I drank for a while when I wasn't that experienced with craft beer. And for its time, it was on the forefront of craft beer pioneer.
Yeah.
So, it's just I feel like they just haven't kept up,
Some of their, I think some of their core stuff, it kind of slowed up a little bit, kind of fell behind. They do a lot of experimentation, and that's... Not exactly sure how much of it makes it out to our market.
Not a lot.
But there's a good amount of stuff that they're playing around with out in Colorado, too, though.
Yeah. So the more I sip on 5, it's really thin. But on the end of each sip, I'm starting to get just the slightest bourbon flavor mixed with cocoa. Like cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like that flavor. I think cocoa powder is a really nice flavor. Especially in beer. Because you don't expect it.
I enjoy it. Usually with these flavors, I expect a lot more body. But sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of a lighter beer. You can, it's not one and done and you're passed out on the couch. You can sit down and drink it,
I've had experiences like that.
I'm taking a sip of this Frausch with the whiskey barrel.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was sitting next to me.
Just for fun. Oh, my God. That's so smooth. Mm. It's not really a palate cleanser, but the peat in that Frosch is so nice.
Yeah.
That peatiness, it adds a lot, in
my
opinion.
Really, it's subtle. It's not over the top. I've had some peat-smoked beers that are just, like, in your face with the peat. Yeah. But it's a nice change of pace.
It is. I like it. Well, it smells six. I think we did a good job on breaking down five. Six. What the? I don't smell much.
Yeah.
Very little aroma.
I can't pick up, like, anything.
I don't know if it was because I tried it kind of after I tried five, but it tastes very similar to five.
Why?
It looks, like, swirling around the glass, it looks thicker. It, you know, it leaves a little bit of residue on the sides. Mm-hmm. Nice tan foam head with these tiny little bubbles kind of sticks around, but I'm not getting any aroma at all.
Okay. If I really stick my nose far in there and I get it super close to the actual liquid, I can get a little bit of like a soy sauce beef jerky type thing going on with a little bit of chocolate, but it's hard to get an aroma off this beer.
I get a tiny little bit of alcohol kind of hitting the hairs of my nose.
What is this? There's not much. You definitely just have to taste it.
Very mild.
Tastes almost a little salty, though. What is it? It tastes astringent.
I'm perplexed.
Yeah. It tastes like
really dry finish, a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of bourbon.
Yeah, okay.
But it's very, very subtle.
It tastes like a smaller version of five, but a little bit more bigger body, not quite as lighter body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you take the best aspects of both these beers and put them together, I would prefer that most.
You get
just one the two.
It's odd that you get this much more body later out of six, but
five,
this much
five
more
and six have joined together.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like the body, you get so much more body out of six, but so much more flavor out of five.
You would expect six to have the flavor of five, and five to have the flavor of six, just based on the
six is okay, but like there's not a ton. I get a little bit of like a roasty coffee. I get some of that chocolate. I get a little of that bourbon you're talking about.
You go back to five, too.
So light.
All right, I think I'm good to vote.
I think I kind of want to go six, though. I think it's like,
this is hard.
It's a little bit more, it covers the palate a little bit. It sits on your tongue. There's not a whole lot there. But if you take a sip of it and you just, like, you sit and just kind of let it do its thing on your tongue, you start to pick up on little characteristics coming through, but it is still very, very mild.
Yeah, both of these are pretty mild, actually. Yeah, actually, I see what you're saying. Six, when you keep sipping it, it starts to develop a little bit more, and there is maybe a tad bit of like a charcoal on the flavor that I'm getting as well.
I feel like a lot of, like, bourbon stouts, like, a lot of times you have, you know, you pop open a bottle of bourbon stout and you want 4 ounces of it. You need some people to split it with. This is six is like the bourbon stout that you pop open and you're ready to have a full pint.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it'll keep developing as you go. Like every sip I take,
yeah,
it's a little bit more character coming through.
This is so, okay. So you guys vote first. Cause I'm, this is so neck and neck for me that I'm kind of hoping it doesn't just come down to me, but it might.
I personally just want to, like, blend the two together and, like, combine.
If you hold them.
We'll just...
Five and six five merge and together six into a new category. Yeah.
The super beer from that
You just
got
to pour the two together.
Yeah. So, votes?
Do you guys vote five and six combined together. I'm with
Frankenstein beer.
We can do it later.
I think I'm going to go six.
I'm going to make you be the deciding factor. So I got to go five.
God, I hate you guys.
I like the body of six, but the taste and the aroma of five, it's two to one. So
I feel like I would start to get palate fatigue from five without like the body to like kind of pull those characteristics up. I don't know. It's doing something weird on my palate. Every time I take a sip, you get this big punch of flavor, but not much else.
Yeah, the wateriness is really throwing me off on five. Like I said, it's so friggin' close, but I'll go, I'm gonna go 6, because it's so close, so it's just, gotta make a choice.
All right, I at least have 2 beers still in the competition that are palatable and drinkable.
Yeah, man. So 6 moves on. So we have 2, 3, and 6 at the moment. So, all right, so number 5 getting knocked out is, oh, okay, Firestone Walker's Velvet Merkin. Bourbon barrel-aged oatmeal stout, 8.5% alcohol by volume. This is their 2013 Velvet Merkin, so.
It's drinking good for its age.
Yeah, for being, you know, 3 years old.
That's something I always have noticed about that beer, is it is on the thinner side for an Imperial bourbon barrel-aged stout. I think when it's younger, you get a little bit more body coming through.
I feel like with all oatmeal stouts, you get that kind of lighter-bodied stout.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very first Velvet Merkin I ever had, I do remember being kind of let down by the body of it. And just being like, oh, I thought there'd be a lot more to this. So, it kind of fits.
The oats just kind of just lighten it up and just kind of lifts off your tongue.
Yeah, it does. Okay. There we go.
So now we're on to 7 and 8.
7 and 8, the last of the preliminary round. So 7 looks like the beers we've been doing. It looks very dark. It's got a little bit of a tan. No, it's definitely tan head to it. And 8 looks
dark amber.
Yeah, like reddish brownish. Looks like it could be some sort of like barrel aged Scotch ale
or strong
like
ale.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So let's smell 7 then. Bananas.
I didn't want to say anything until somebody else confirmed it. I was getting, like, banana runts.
Fresh bananas, too.
Ripe-ass banana. Like, real ripe banana. That's crazy. There's a little chocolate in there, too. Chocolate-covered bananas.
Some type of, like, Belgian stout or something?
I don't know.
This is Shock Top pretzel wheat.
No, sir. I wouldn't think so.
I would hope that wasn't your stout. Right? I might have to stop being friends with you.
I don't know. I may have gotten it or forgotten. We don't know.
It was a 6-pack she picked up. There's 5 in the cellar now.
I sometimes get that kind of banana character out of bourbon barrel-aged beers.
It smells like a chocolate-covered banana to me.
Yeah, it definitely smells like a chocolate-covered banana. It does. It does. I'm going to taste it. Oh, it tastes a lot better than that. Gotta be honest.
Hmm. You get some alcohol coming through on there, but it's like, it's not offensive, it's nice and warming.
Yeah,
this is
very,
a good winter beer.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I want to say this is in the 10 to 12% range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a dessert beer, like a by itself, that's your dessert type beer. Yeah, there's a very present ABV that you can perceive on there. I do get a little of that banana flavor on it, but I get a lot more of like a dark chocolate. And some barrel character. There's some woodiness. There's some bourbony.
I mostly just get the banana and the aroma. You know, if I breathe in as I'm drinking it, I get
banana.
It. But yeah, lots of bourbon character coming through.
Vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. A lot of barrel character.
There's more.
It's definitely barrel aged.
There's more whiskey. Spirit character in this than I think most of the others that we've tasted tonight. But it's not like it's not an intense like. Burning spirit. It's like it's the characteristics that you're trying to like pick out on a spirit are really shining through in this. The oaky characteristics, a little bit of a spicy note to it.
This is good though. I like it. I like it quite a bit. This is probably the
I'm a fan of 7.
This is the most substantial beer that we've had thus far as mouthfeel goes. And it tastes like it's the most alcoholic,
so,
too.
Yeah, I don't know if your mic's gonna pick up my growling, but I just smelled 8 and I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
I think 7 might be one of the.
I'm
one
pretty
of the best
sure
ones we've had
8
yet.
Is another form of a sour of some type.
Ooh. Oh yeah,
yeah.
8 is definitely a sour.
Doesn't smell nearly as bad as 2, but I'm picking up some funky sour categories there.
That smells like
more caramelization,
maybe like a raspberry sour.
It's got. I think it smells a little cherry. Kind of smells like a Flanders Red to me.
Mm-hmm. I get these bright fruit notes, but they're not... the fruit notes that I'm picking up don't feel like they're providing the sourness.
Okay.
It's just like a sweet fruity note, Yeah. But then there's also this sour component to it.
I'm not really enjoying drinking this, but it's drinkable.
It is?
I would take this over number two.
Whoa, damn, okay.
No, once again, I'm definitely going to tell you right now, my vote's going to be for seven. That's clear and obvious.
Oh, wow.
This is good, though.
I could actually, paired with a dish, I might be able to drink this, so like an actual full glass of it.
So this is rich, sweet, and sour. Like, there's a balance between that sourness and sweetness. And
it's
not that
funkiness sour. Yeah, it's actually just like a fruit sour.
Hmm.
No, this ain't going to be what I'm pouring watching football, but...
There is a decent sweetness on there, but there is that sourness to balance it out. It's nice. It kind of goes through all the motions. It does taste to me like a some sort of Flanders red, and I say that because when I smelled it, I thought that because typically with Flanders reds, I get the cola aroma that I always get on a Flanders brown, but it's not as pronounced because of that oak barrel that kind of rounds it out. So,
see that?
And it tastes that way too. Mm. It tastes pretty good. I like that.
I love the balance between that caramel sugar and the sourness coming
through. You all know my feelings on sours, but
there's cherry.
This is a drinkable sour for me.
There's cherry, but there's also raspberry in there, I feel like. Mm. Well, this sucks because this is rough. Because I like them both. Because they're both really good.
I think these are probably the two best beers we've had yet going up against each other right now.
Yeah, I do too. I do. Damn. That's rough. They're really good, but it is what it is. So, between 7 and 8, I gotta try 7 again.
Well, I know you're going 7.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I'm gonna go 8. So we'll leave it up to Carlin again.
This is fun. These are both really good, though.
I just went back and had 7 again. Both are fantastic beers. I just, style preference, I love that balance of the sourness. See,
I'm on the exact opposite side of preference. I'm like, no.
All right. So
it's drinkable, but no.
So I think for what these beers are both supposed to be, they did a damn good job, like a really good job. And I would agree that these are probably the two best beers, period. But I have to make a decision, and I'm going to give it to 7 because there's just a little more sweetness on 8 than I would like.
It's fine with me. I mean, I can go ahead and drink 8 right down.
Because it's nice. God, that sucks that was the matchup, because that was really good.
So I know 8 is mine. Before you even open the paper. It's the only one that matches like the characteristics of one of the beer, the one beer that I knew I brought tonight.
Well, 8 getting eliminated is, yes, it is Sean's. It's the Rodenbach Vintage Oak Aged Ale, 7%. It's the 2009 vintage.
Nice.
Damn, limited edition.
You've been storing that one for a while.
Ooh. Yeah, I know. I think we've had 10 on a couple different episodes before.
Yeah.
I had a bottle of 9 down in the basement, and I've got one more bottle of 10 down there as well. And I think the Fodors that they were from are only like 2 apart from each other in the brewery.
Oh wow!
So there's a lot of similar characteristics from the environmental factors that we're playing into it. I enjoy that.
I was right about Flanders Red, though.
Yeah.
Feel good about that. I love Rodenbach. Rodenbach is really awesome. They just do it right. They do such nice stuff. Such nice stuff.
I think you're going to, probably later this summer, you'll start seeing some new stuff in our market from them, too.
Oh, really? That's exciting.
They want something a little more approachable, a little kind of more of like a higher volume play from them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blanking on the name of it right now, but it's like it's a fruited sour. It's going to come in like the 4-5% range.
It's not they had done a Character Rouge.
No. So Character Rouge is they take the vintage and then they put it into separate casks with, sour cherries, cranberries, and raspberries for an extra 6 months. Mm-hmm. So the vintage is 2 years, 24 months. And then they age it for another 6 months with the berries on it, and that's Character Rouge.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be a blend, more like the so when you've got regular Rodenbach, which is 2/3 fresh beer, 1/3 sour. You've got Grand Cru, which is 2/3 sour, 1/3 fresh. You've got Vintage, which is all sour. This is going to be more towards the regular Rodenbach, more of a fresh, little bit of sourness, and then they add the berries to it as well. Mm. So.
Well, here's a lesson for you then, Mike. Rodenbach, that's your entry point for sours.
Oh, who said I wanted to have an entry point for sours, let's be honest.
See, okay, let me sell it to you. Let me sell it to you real quick. Being a person who sells beer to people all the time, I mean, that's what you do day in and day out. It's good to be familiar with every style of what you're selling. Sours are going to become a much bigger thing where we are. They're not huge right now, but they're going to become much bigger. And if you can get yourself into it, it just helps. I mean, just think about it. If people come and ask you about IPAs, you know them. So you know probably all of them in your store.
I do, and I'm the perfect example of this. I could also learn how to change my oil. But I got a guy for that. Sour beers? I got a guy for that.
Is that Josh?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Josh is sour beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Just point him to him and let him take over.
I got a guy for that.
That's cool.
Change oil? Got a guy for that. Pump of gas? I got a guy for that.
Josh is a good guy, too.
I got a guy for that.
Do you like cheese?
Oh, I love cheese.
Stinky like...
No, I don't like
the. What kind of cheese usually?
It varies. I'm not a big into the whole gourmet. You know, give me American, provolone, Swiss. Give me the cheese in the can and some Ritz crackers and I'm happy.
Cheese Swiss?
Get some rich, like soft French cheese, put it on a cracker, and eat some in number 8.
French.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not going to surrender anytime soon, so.
Nice.
I went back and I'm smelling the...
The frosh.
It's a lot more smokiness coming off of it now.
It's that peat. That kind of peat moss.
That's coming through a lot stronger.
That's a banging beer. That was really good. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Pretty cool.
And thank you for that Rodenbach. And whatever else is still in here, actually. Still in there.
I think I'm remembering which...
Which is the one...
Which one I have left in here.
All right, so 2 and 3. Here we go. Let's do it. This is round 2.
Do I really have to try 2 again?
Yes, you do.
Damn it.
Do your due diligence. So 2 is the only other sour one. Smells right now like...
Nastiness. Funkiness.
Yeah.
Slight sourness.
Lots of funk.
I think the baby diaper's gone away.
Yeah. No, it's still faintly there. I don't even have babies, and I can see as soon as you said baby diaper, I'm like, my nieces and nephews, all I can smell is baby diapers now.
Baby diapers.
I get more of a fruitiness coming out of it now that it's warmed up a little bit.
Yeah, the funk is subdued a little bit. There's still a lot of it, but it's subdued a little bit because the fruitiness is coming through.
I can actually keep my nose in it for longer than 2-3 seconds.
Yeah. Raspberry type notes coming in through.
I still think it's really cool how you get that sharp sourness right up front on the tip of your tongue, but as soon as you swallow it back, the whole rest of your tongue, you don't get any sourness at all.
Yeah, the balance on
you get it's all funk from that point on. That's pretty neat.
Better than the first round, but
it is delicate. Mm-hmm. A lot of nice funkiness. There's like a raspberry type flavor to it, maybe strawberry.
Whether you like this beer or not, you have to. I feel like you have to respect the delicate notes that are in this. Like whoever, I don't know what brewery this is from, but they know what they're doing. This is a good sour beer.
So you're talking to Mike right now.
Well, no.
I'm taking your guys' word.
Just saying. just saying.
Like, I mean, you know, sour beers aren't for everybody,
no,
right?
Yeah,
like,
no, that's true.
It is a unique flavor, and there are plenty of reasons to hate sours. You should. There's no right reason to enjoy a sour.
Right.
It's a weird characteristic coming out of a drink.
I also find it weird with me. Like, I like sour candies. But I don't like sour food.
Really?
But right. Also the same line with spicy. I like spicy food, but I don't like spicy beer.
Right. Okay.
I drink beer to refresh.
Yeah.
To cleanse my palate, to get drunk. For sourness. I'll grab a bag of Sour Patch Kids for that.
That's like me. Like, I like bananas, but I hate anything that has banana in it or has banana flavors, pretty much. So, same type of deal. I understand where you're coming from. Let's try 3 now. Smell this sucker.
So much better.
Oh, yeah. Lots and lots and lots of coffee.
Mm.
A little bit of dark chocolate.
I was just talking about so much better than number 2.
I'm sure. For you. Yeah, a lot of green coffee on 3.
Lots
There's
of coffee.
A lot
yeah.
of coffee.
Tons of coffee coming through.
Mm.
But you don't get, there's not really a ton of bitterness from the coffee, though. It's it's fairly mellow.
See, but now I'm getting more of the brewed coffee aroma than the fresh coffee aroma.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where you're getting that.
Still get a lot of that baker's chocolate coming through.
Yeah, tons of that type of chocolate and tons of coffee. It's like, it's a two-note beer to me, but those are two very good notes, so
I think both of the notes that are in there are done very well, and they mix together very well.
The one thing I don't like about this beer is, out of all the ones we have left, it's the only one that, if you guys notice,
no head.
Yeah, no head whatsoever. All three other beers, 2, 6, and 7, still have a ring of head.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, 2 has the most amount of head still left on it without swirling.
Yeah, there's no head to that.
Yeah, you can't even, yeah. I mean, as much as you swirl it, you can't get any head at all.
It's really good, though. I like it a lot.
I wonder if that's like the, I mean, obviously there's coffee in this beer. Coffee beans can produce a lot of oils.
Yes.
I wonder if the oil from the beans
killed the carbonation over the time.
Which would make sense, because you know that whole thing when people, I had heard this in like college, when you get a ton of head on your beer, you wipe the oils off your nose and put it on the head, and it'll just like dissipate it so fast.
That is disgusting.
Well, I mean, I tried it before because I heard it, but
when you're trying to bong the beer, you know, you got to get the head off the top of there, so you got to figure out some way to make it go away. Yeah,
exactly. There you go. I mean, in college, I was drinking terrible beer, so, you know, it didn't really matter. Nose grease does not impart much flavor to Natty Light, because Natty Light is Natty Light.
When I was in school, we could get Natty Light for $9.99 a 30-pack.
Yeah, see, I started working at a liquor store when I was 17. I never had the Natty Light, Natty Bo, even Coors, Bud, Miller phase. I went straight from Yingling and Red Stripe to Three Floyds and Avery Brewing Company, and I never looked back.
Well, do you want to know where I actually started? Colt 45.
I thought you were talking about microbrews. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could tell you. I started doing microbrews.
Yeah. No, you did. You were there.
You started the conversion.
Like, dude, why are you drinking this cheap swill beer? Drink good stuff. Less of it and better flavor.
I remember doing, when we worked at Ronnie's, doing the mixed six packs with each other. You buy four mixed six packs.
You buy a six pack, I buy a six pack. We'll trade three each.
Well, actually,
I used to do that in my senior year of college, like really when I kind of started developing my palate. I lived with three other guys, and we would always, every time we went to the liquor store, everybody get a different six pack, but we always got the same style. And then you'd get one from each of the other guys, and you'd have three of whichever one you picked out.
Mixed six packs before they were a thing. I actually remember when we were working there, Mike, that we were able to get enough people in it, so everybody got one beer each.
A couple times.
We got six people a few times, and it was a true mixed six pack. That was exciting, and now you can just get it all the time, so it's not as exciting anymore.
Well, that's, you know,
but it makes it easier and convenient.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you notice a trend in bomber sales?
It depends on, like, certain ones will fly out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Then certain bombers mostly are on the decline of sales.
Yeah. My theory is that it's because in the Maryland of so market. Many, it used to be a great way to get, buy one bottle of something, you could take it, try it, share it with people. Now you can get a mixed six pack almost anywhere.
Yeah,
I think that's a huge part of why bombers are going down.
Point. And I hate to say, but from what I understand, with most of the other country, bombers and big bottle formats do great. Maryland, which always seems to be some kind of weird black hole around craft beer,
a lot of it is
it's trending down.
Most of where bombers are up are chain markets. So you've got chain grocery stores where they're mandated in there. They're giving them prime shelf position right up front in a cooler. People are grabbing them
and going. Now that you say it, last time I was in Kentucky where they have grocery store, liquor stores and all that, I remember seeing bombers were the first thing you saw when you walked into the beer aisle, front and center. I almost picked up some really good Deschutes too, but I'm like, wait, why are you on sale?
Because you're old as hell. Yep.
No thanks, I'll put you back.
That is what happens. So, 2 and 3. I'm going to go 3. First. Okay, I'm going 2.
Sorry.
I'm going 2 because I think it's a little more finessed than 3. But, Mike, you're on 3.
Yeah.
They're both,
that was kind of obvious, though.
I like them both. I like them both quite a bit. So, it's another one of those tough situations.
So, 2 has definitely become more palatable for myself. Yeah. But...
I like both of these. I'm always a sucker for a good coffee beer. I'm going 3.
Okay. Yes, thank you, cool. Lord. I don't have to drink two anymore. That's just going right off.
You just pour that right into my glass right here.
Yeah, I would gladly do that.
Both, I think both are great beers, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whew. All right, so three continues.
Yes.
Do you want my one?
No, three will sally forth. Number three. So number two getting knocked out is... Oh, okay. I kind of thought it could be this beer. It's Wicked Weed. This is their Bretta Berry. It's 5.5% alcohol by volume. It's their 2016, which is a Brettanomyces farmhouse ale fermented with blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, and honey.
Wow.
It's finessed.
It is.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a great beer.
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess, I mean, they make some awesome sours, too. I mean, across, they're always coming out with something different. It's like every month they've got a new sour beer coming out. They do some pretty cool stuff.
That's the thing. Like, it's awesome whenever you can get there to go there. Because it's going to be, everything's going to be different, basically. Because they're always just doing different stuff.
Every time you visit, it's always something new.
I love it. I think it's awesome. So, okay. 6 and 7, they look the same. They're both extremely dark. Their heads look about the same as well. I think 6 is just a tad bit darker, but... They're both quite dark.
So 6 was the one that didn't have any aroma before. Seven's the one that smelled like bananas, right? Just recapping.
Yes.
I get a little bit more bourbon coming out of 6 now than the first time, I think.
Yeah.
Still strong bananas coming from 7, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a little bit of a bourbon starting to rise out of 6, and I think it's bringing a little of that kind of caramel.
Oh, that's what I was about to say. Caramel, little vanilla.
Yes. I agree with that, for sure.
I can taste the vanilla.
I'm picking up a slight smokiness, though.
I'm not getting the smokiness.
I can get some, like, ash from, like charred barrel.
Mm-hmm. I can get that.
This is, like, there's different levels of toast they can do in the barrels. I get more of a char, like that dark.
I could agree with that, for sure. That's probably, what you mean about the smoke. That smokiness, then. It's definitely come up a little bit in flavor, but still, it's not a ton. I have a feeling that 7's going to run away with it for me, but...
The banana flavor is
still there.
It's throwing me off a little bit.
I do pick up a little bit more of the flavor of the banana now than I did. The first time we went through this, I got the banana in the nose right away. But I couldn't taste it.
You're picking, yeah.
Now I start to pick it up.
Kind of on the back end, on like the side of your tongues.
I'm getting bourbon in 7. I'm getting some coffee. I'm getting some dark chocolate. I'm getting some caramel. I'm getting some woodiness. I'm getting a little char.
Definitely the tannins and the wood.
My face is getting warm now.
Yeah. There's a lot of alcohol in that
There's
beer.
A ton of alcohol.
But it doesn't taste boozy.
Right.
It tastes just a tad bit.
You can tell the booze are there, but it's not offensive. It's
Evil
not in
Twins
your face.
Malted cocktail right. heavy, where like I poured that one night, took one sip without even realizing what the alcohol was, and went, oh, good Lord, I'm passing out on the couch tonight. And sure enough, I passed out on the couch that night.
Could you pass me some water, by the way? Yeah. I got to refresh on this. It looks like you need some, too.
My son's got these great little sippy cups. You can drink them from any side of the cup, and they don't spill.
Witchcraft are you performing?
I think that would be perfect for a beer like that. You know, you don't have to, you pass out on the couch, you spill stout on the couch, your wife's gonna fucking kill you.
Is that one of those
ones? My girlfriend spilled marinara last night, so I got the final say.
So you got a freebie then.
Oh yeah.
So beer on the floor, no problem.
Nope. I want to get like a really big black nasty beer. Just like bam. Just spray the walls, hit the carpet. God, I hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
Going back between the two again.
This is tough. Me too.
6 is really opening up now.
6 is opening up, but...
It's still not intense in any way. It's still very mild, but it's opening up a lot more than it was before.
I'm going 7 because I think 7's got a lot more happening. I think there are a lot more layers that are at play in there, and I think you can taste all of those layers throughout each sip. Six has a decent amount going on, and it is quite good, but it's not doing as much. So, I don't know.
I agree with that.
You going seven, then?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mike, where are you going? Not like it matters, but we'll pretend that you do matter in this one.
Maybe you can I'm just happy the one time that like it winds up ending on me. It's like, hey, it doesn't matter. They already voted both for
pressure.
The same.
Yeah, yeah, no pressure, but we still want to know what you would say. He's still like debating like crazy on this.
It's a tough decision.
I mean, yeah, it was
tough. Have you blended 5 and 6 yet?
Oh, yeah. You can't.
No, I finished 5. We'll have to do that afterwards if there's some left.
All right. There is.
You know, I hate to say this.
You're going to agree with us?
But no, I'm going to go with Soli on number 7. Because I like them both fairly damn equal. And I like 7 as a number because my three names are 777 Michael William Johnson. So 7 letters in each one of them. So that's the one I got to go
okay.
with.
Okay, that's the worst reasoning I've ever heard. But
I like them both the same, though. Nice. You know?
All right, so 6 is out, so you can feel free to mix it with whatever you want.
Yeah, I already drank 5, so that doesn't matter.
All right, so
let me know how it tastes.
I just blended about 2/3 6 and 1/3 5, so.
Okay. So 6 is...
And it's pretty fantastic.
Is it? The 5 and 6 blend?
More the flavor, more body.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid. You son of a
bitch. Yeah, I'm trying it too then.
But I'm looking at you and it's got like a half cup of beer over there after blending the two.
So I'm going to vote for 11.
So
new code 11 going in.
So 6 getting eliminated was by Sierra Nevada. It's called Trip in the Woods. It's their barrel aged Maillard's Odyssey, ale aged in bourbon barrels, 9.3%.
Interesting.
So, if people remember the Maillard's Odyssey...
Did you get that when you were down in...
When we were in Asheville, yeah. Cool. We went there, and actually it was a part of a 3-pack, where it was the bourbon barrel, or no, that wasn't part of it. I bought that in addition. We also bought a 3-pack at the same time of Narwhal, aged 3 ways, bourbon, rum, and red wine. Which is what I thought, the one that I thought I was getting red wine in, the blue bubbles, I thought maybe that's what that was, but I was wrong.
You know, that's it's interesting. We're talking about the mildness of the kind of the bourbon characteristics coming out of that beer. That's something I've always noticed about their bourbon barrel aged series is the bourbon, you know, a lot of bourbon barrel aged beers, the bourbon jumps out right up front. Mm-hmm. Theirs are always very subdued with the bourbon character.
Very subtle.
And, you know, a lot of the beers that works really well, like the Narwhal and Bigfoot, those beers have tons of intense flavors
barrel
up front.
Barrel-aged Narwhal.
And you get a little subtle hint of the bourbon. It's an
one of the
pretty
only
cool
beers
on
I'd probably rather have than the barrel-aged Narwhal for barrel-aged beers is barrel-aged 1050.
Mm.
Those two right that there, I could put like hand in hand like, yeah, I don't have a firstborn, but I could probably sell it for a case.
I gotta be honest.
Denfitty was really good. I enjoyed that a lot.
They're awesome, but I gotta be honest. I would still prefer Duclos Retribution over those. I think Retribution is top notch.
It is top notch. It's probably the best Duclos beer they make.
Oh, hands down.
But
it's amazing.
I don't remember. I think that was the last episode I was on.
See, now I'm gonna have to go home and crack one of my bottles of Retribution.
That's one of the things Rebecca said to me the next day after she went through our beer cellar. She was like, did you know we have a lot of Retribution down there? I was like,
there's good reason
yes,
for that.
Yes, I do.
Like that caramel apple one they released. Yep. I really like the caramel apple. I
think we have 2 of those and 2 that of the creme de menthe.
It does sound weird, so but when you try like the caramel and the apple flavors and just this big, heavy Russian Imperial Stout, it's just like,
it's really good. Well, and what I told her is we have so much because what happens is you can only get it 1 day a year.
The day of Retribution Festival
right.
now.
So you got us
the second
up?
Or third year they did that?
They've done it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they used to actually release it in stores, but. You know.
Well, they still send kegs out, but they don't do the bottles anymore. Yeah. Oh, I got a keg sitting in my cooler right now.
What was the base beer of that called again? I'm sorry, for number
the
Maillard's, 6.
Maillard's Odyssey.
Have you ever had just the beer?
Yes. Okay. That was part of their Sierra Nevada beer camp.
Is that the beer camp
yeah.
a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think, is that the one they did with, No, I was going to say Ninkasi, but no, it was not Ninkasi. I forget who they did that one with, but I remember them doing it.
Okay.
Who did they do it with?
It was two beer camp releases ago, so it was like one other brewery. It wasn't like
yes.
The,
yeah, okay. Yeah. It wasn't the massive team one. Yeah, gotcha. It was one other brewery, and I forget who it was, but that was a good beer, too. But I think it was like an oatmeal stout. Basically, but all right. So the final is 3 and 7. 3, if we remember, was the one that's basically just Baker's chocolate and coffee. And 7 is the one that we just tried that has a lot of that banana, and it's got tons and tons and tons of layers that we talked about.
I'm picking up a little bit more smoke in 3 than before.
I still just get a crap ton of coffee.
Yeah.
So much coffee, and then right under it is all that Baker's chocolate, and it, yeah, it's
really
good.
I get a lot of coffee on the aroma, but I feel like behind the coffee, there's like some hint of smoke going on.
It's really good. It's really good.
You get lots of roastiness. I don't necessarily pick up smoke on it, but it's just that really like rich, dark, dry chocolate.
There's so much going on in 7, though. So much.
I still can't get over the bananas in the nose.
I know, the bananas are weird.
It's weird.
And it's funny that, you know, I was saying that I don't like banana or banana flavor in things, but I'm just going to go ahead and vote for 7 because I think there's so many layers and the body is so great and there's a lot of nice stuff going on with 7. A lot of nice stuff. Mm. But 3 is awesome too, but jeez, I'm voting 7.
7 and 3 are good.
These are both really good beers.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like 3, and it might be because I'm a smoker, so I kind of like those. I'm also a whiskey drinker, so I kind of like those heavy, smoky whiskey flavors. But
the noise of swirling on there, yeah.
I'm leaning towards 3.
Okay,
I can't decide between the two. I love the coffee. I love the chocolate in 3.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though. It is kind of two notes. But
they're great
two
notes.
Really great notes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
7, I like a lot. When I drink it, the bananas really throw me off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can see people going for either of these, no problem. I'm personally going 7, but 3 is awesome, too. It's tough. I like them both.
I'm going to go 3.
You are the decider now. It's your turn. You are crowning the victor, actually, at this point. So
we should do a revote, and I'll just yell out mine first, and then you guys go.
We have to do it again.
So it's not on me. I love coffee.
Let's see, my glasses are empty, so I can't do a revote.
Here, we'll revote right now, and I'll vote for 3, and Michael vote for 7. You're still in the same place.
Damn it. All right. I'm going to go 3.
Okay.
And I think the reason for it is I can see myself drinking a pint of 3.
Okay. Yeah.
More than I could 7. I think that there is a lot
that's
of complexity to
I'm
it
at.
And
yeah.
I enjoy that. And I love that. And yeah. And I'm all into big, complex, rich, over the top beers. But there's also a really strong bourbon character that's kind of coming through. It's, you know, burning the palate a little bit. I feel like it could have more of 3.
I gotcha. That's cool. And also 3 could keep you up because coffee. So that's also a
keeps me going.
Added bonus.
Keeps me awake, alert, and reckless all night long. Who's ready to drop in the 18 rig and drive 800 miles across country?
Nice. So 7 getting knocked out. And the runner up, really, is Duclaw's Retribution.
Really?
How fucking wow. Funny is that? I was saying it should be the best.
What year?
2016, just last
okay,
year.
Okay, so, yeah. So super fresh.
What is that? What's that banana character called?
I don't know.
Yeah, that,
I don't know.
That
I don't remember that at
there.
All.
It's
no.
Weird. 11.5% alcohol, Imperial Stout, aged in bourbon barrels, obviously. That's so funny we were
really
talking about
good,
it.
Really good beer.
It is. It's awesome. And I feel good that I voted for it because I talk about how much I love it.
I'm so shocked about the banana flavors that
yeah,
are
that's
coming
a,
that through.
We didn't
that
pick
year.
Up on any of that at all
yeah.
Last time.
I remember the Day of Retribution where I'm drinking the beers at the brewery. I don't remember tasting any banana flavors.
Well, in all fairness, the last time it was in a tournament was a different vintage. And
oh,
you
okay.
Know, it changes from year to year. So, you know,
but banana
different batches.
Flavors?
Yeah.
I still got
that's
a bottle
crazy.
I'm curious.
So this is your other beer, Sean.
Is.
So you're
it
the
is.
Other beer
so
you
you're
brought
the
one at all. That's nice. Awesome. Your prize, we don't have one. The That's rest fine. Of this bottle of the Frosch. So, the winner is... What? Are you kidding me? Okay. So...
I'm really curious now.
Okay. So, it is the Rise Up Russian Imperial Stout by Evolution.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you said Rise Up, I knew where you were going. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a Russian Imperial Stout conditioned on locally roasted whole Sumatran coffee beans. Wow. That's cool.
So, there's like a little roastery that's like right down the street from their brewery. So this is actually last year's version of it. We just re-released it this year, so should be some out on the... I would think there's still a little bit of it floating around. But yeah, this is actually the first time I've had it. That was good.
I love Evolution's beers. They do a very good of keeping it traditional. Not throwing out a Tropical Lot 3 or a Tropical Lot 6. I didn't hear about that.
But didn't they do Pine Hopple?
Well, they did Pine Hopple, but it's pineapple. Besides Pineapple Sculpin, what other pineapple beers do you know of other than Tropical This, Tropical That?
Right, right. I hear you.
They make some really solid beers.
Yeah.
I think they could do a little bit more with their marketing, but I think the beers themselves
their marketing phenomenal. And their packaging, I hate to say. Their packaging, it's like a little old school out of date, where this day and age, there's so many out there, it's easy to get lost in the mixture.
Some of the new stuff they're coming out with has, I wouldn't say the graphics necessarily have improved, but the colors at least have. They're a little brighter, they stand out a little more on the shelf.
So, Evolution, a few things about them. One, they're out of Delaware.
They're out of Maryland now. They originally started in Delaware. And now they're in Salisbury.
So, they're in Salisbury, Maryland, and they also own the Biroteca restaurants.
Well, they own lots of restaurants, but
Biroteca is a great one. Owners of Evo are restaurateurs. They started in restaurants, and they wanted to make beer to serve at their restaurants. That's how they got into the beer industry.
Yeah.
But they have restaurants across all styles. They've got Mexican restaurants. They've got like down home, like good cooking restaurants. Eastern Shore, like crab restaurants.
They
and
sold
stuff.
Some of their restaurants that were overseas, but I think they still own some restaurants that are still in other countries.
Oh, really?
Overseas.
I didn't know about that. I know they travel a lot overseas. No, but
I've heard stories of like there's been a couple marketplaces where they'll buy a restaurant out and they pay their staff kind of like American wages to cost of living. Good. Well, and apparently in other countries, the restaurants don't do the same. So then all the other restaurants start hating on them because they're like, oh, you're stealing all my employees. You're paying them so much cash and we're not paying them this much. F you.
Huh. So the reason that I reacted the way I did when I saw it, I'm not typically a fan of Evolution, to be honest. Really? Not a fan. I will point out also that Sean's wearing
an Evo hat.
A pretty solid, good-looking hat, too. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it is a good-looking hat.
You can ask many people around me. I'm a hat whore and a half. But he's got a nice Evo hat, and there's the Maryland flag going in the Evo logo. I'm not going to lie. I might have to, like, punch him and take his hat at the end of the night. It might happen.
I'll see what I can do for it.
Yes.
Once again, hat whore. Is a nice hat. I like how you basically told us without telling us what beer you were bringing by wearing that hat, so that's nice.
Subconscious.
Well, I told you, look, no, like, I knew, so that 09 vintage of the Rodenbach, I knew I was bringing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Rodenbach, the vintage. I knew we've had the 10 on here before. I wanted to bring something fun and do the 9. I went back and forth on the second beer, and that was like a last minute grab. I went for the Evo, because you know how you were talking before about, you know, you get beers down in the basement and you're saving them for just the right occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been holding on to this beer for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
And I haven't found the right time to pop it out. And I was like, the one thing I was worried about was the coffee dropping out. Because coffee generally tends to fade in beers pretty quickly.
Yes.
So I was like, you know, I'll grab that one. I'll go ahead and we'll run with it. We'll see how it goes. And then
coffee.
If I enjoy it, I'll go buy some of the new version.
Good job keeping the coffee
strong.
There.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've typically not been huge with Evolution. I like a lot of their main offerings I just haven't been big on. I remember having their Rise Up some time ago, so I guess this is a special version of it.
Yes, so this is a bigger version of the base beer.
Got it.
A little more coffee, and then a lot bigger malt base to it.
So well, this kind of changes the Russian
Imperial version of Rise Up.
Changes my opinion a little bit on Evolution, so that's interesting. But I will say, as you wore the hat, I wore the Trogues Flying Mouflon shirt because I was hoping that maybe that would find conjure my Flying Mouflon into getting in, because in my cellar it's a bourbon barrel aged Flying Mouflon that was a brewery only release that Nathan Kolasnik, who's been on the show, was nice enough to grab for me because he went for the release, so. Which goes amazingly well with
which I actually have the same exact shirt.
Do you?
Yeah,
it's a good shirt.
All it is.
Good shirt or a douchey shirt, depending on who you ask.
It's a good shirt. It's a good shirt. To be honest with you, the brewery's really freaking awesome if you're in Hershey.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They do some cool stuff up there.
Their food. Really.
Well, and it's weird because you first walk in there, it's like cafeteria style. You got a bar section over here and a food section over here. Like, am I ordering from a high school cafeteria? Yeah. But then you walk up and you're like, wait, lollipop lamb chop? All right, let me get one of those. Fried chicken skin sandwich? Let me get one of those.
They do an awesome job. If anyone is in the area or can make the trip, Hershey, they used to be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. In Hershey, Pennsylvania, Trogues, amazing, awesome. They're always having great beer there, and their food is ridiculous.
The brewery, they opened up a much bigger brew house in the brewery, but they still have the old system that they used to brew on, so that's what they do all their scratch beers on.
Okay.
So they always have limited release stuff at the brew pub. You know, you can find it occasionally out in the market.
That's right, because you don't sell me Trogues, but your company sells Trogues in other counties.
We have it in Baltimore. Okay,
that's right, yeah. I forget these things sometimes.
Yeah,
so we do sell them down in Baltimore County and City. And occasionally you can find the rarities, the scratch stuff there. I think they've started putting them in their variety packs, too.
Every so often, but mostly they keep it to draft.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you guys said that, because we just recently did an episode of Pack Attack, in which Rebecca grabbed the Winter Trogues Anthology pack.
Nice.
And they had their chocolate stout scratch in there. Which was the best beer in there.
Nice.
So,
yeah. I was talking to her in the store when she bought that.
Yeah. Yep. You're often to Rebecca in your store. You see Rebecca more now than you see me.
I'm not going to argue with that either. I'm not going to complain. I'd rather see her face than your ugly bearded face. Come on, let's be honest.
And my beard's out of control.
It's getting a little back. I can't really talk.
We can drink a few more beers and then kind of cut away at that if you want. Want some help?
I think it's just like people's nails. If they grow long enough that you actually can feel when they're cut. So I think
let's find out
beyond the point of no return.
Let's see if Samson loses his power.
Nice. Well,
Becca is cheering us on from the kitchen.
Yes,
just cut it.
Well, thank you guys for being on. Mike, thank you for being very patient in getting onto one of these.
I try. Thank you for having me for such a great tournament.
Also, thank you for this awesome whiskey barrel aged frosh. It's very tasty.
You know what I mean? I gotta at least bring something for us to drink or for you to stash away. Yeah.
You always do. That's why, don't I just have you on more?
I won't argue. I come over, I drink all your good beer, and I'm like, well, okay, at least I can bring a bottle of beer. Like 3 to 4 of your beers. I'll bring a bottle of beer to replace those.
I'll make that trade though, because you always bring awesome stuff.
I try.
I'm doing it for the podcast anyway, so someone's gonna drink it. So I might as well get some return. And Sean, thank you very much for coming out of retirement, kind of.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It's been a while. I know I've been a little busy. Got a little rug rat running around the house. So,
well, here's the thing. You let me know next time you're able to make it on the show, and we will definitely make it happen, because this is cool, because both of you guys have been said by longtime listeners that you guys are some of their favorites.
All right, I'll high five to that.
All righty.
So this is like an all-star. High five to that. So it's an all-star thing. So, yeah, awesome. But was it fun or was it fun?
Great event.
I'm not
going
to argue. Yeah. I'll come back anytime. Good beers, man.
Yeah, it was really awesome. We might do this type of format again.
I'm surprised you got me to drink some sours and be like, hey, you know what? They're not too bad.
We're going to turn you around.
I don't know about that.
Baby steps, Mike.
It's been a long time.
Rodenbach has been the entry sour for
you. Might
many
be able to
people.
Get me with that Dogfish Head Sea Quench. So,
okay.
Because I've heard that's kind of a baby sour.
Coming
too,
out in cans, too. That is going to
Yeah.
Yeah. cans. Yeah, sequential.
Who's,
nice.
Who's the sour guy I have to talk to?
Josh.
You want to talk to Josh?
Been on the show before. Yeah. Nice guy. We'll have to get him on a tournament,
too. My Puerto Rican beer guru.
And he is a guru. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Rebecca, once again for pouring, because you do an amazing job.
Cheers to Rebecca.
Yeah, big cheers to Rebecca. I'm cheersing my Rodenbach. It's so good. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening, and until next time, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.